We are quickly approaching the end of 2024. And if you have not purchased an investment property yet this year, and it's been one of your goals, I need you to listen very closely. I know many of you live in areas where it's so expensive and investment properties seem impossible. I'm talking about some of the big cities. So LA, New York City, maybe even Seattle, Atlanta, places in Florida, and the list goes on. If you know that where you live is too expensive, I need you to lock in right now. Investing out of state changed my life as somebody living in California. I now invest in Ohio and I'm growing my portfolio. It's something that's possible. You just need the right information and execution. So if that's you, if you want to learn how to invest out of state, go to outofstatemoney.com and there is a free training that'll outline the steps for you and help you understand exactly what it takes. So go to outofstatemoney.com or simply go to the link in the description of this episode.
Excuse me, may I talk to you for a second? Yes. This is the Black Real Estate Dialogue. And the purpose of the Black Real Estate Dialogue is to document the journey of an up-and-coming real estate investor and to share the stories of successful Black real estate investors.
All right, well, welcome to the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast, episode 237. Before we get into this episode, please be sure to leave a rating and review. Definitely goes a long way. And we greatly appreciate it. And I always enjoy shouting you out. All right. Very important episode today. We are going to talk about the fact that the US cannot build homes fast enough and some of the reasons why I believe we are where we are. So, in case you don't know, the US has a shortage of anywhere from 1.5 million to 3 million homes. It really depends on what source you look at, but we are in the millions. And as of August 2024, we have 4 months of housing supply on the market, which is actually higher than we were a year ago, but it's still short of the 5 to 6 months of inventory that we need for a balanced market. So in this episode, we're going to discuss again how we got here and specific ways that we can increase housing supply nationwide. And then we're also going to share the 10 cities that have the worst housing shortages. I'm going to share that at the end. So make sure you stick around for that. All right. So one of the main reasons for the housing shortage is that we haven't actually built enough houses since the Great Recession. So prior to the Great Recession, single family home starts. And that means when the construction on a home began, it reached a high of over 1.8 million in January 2006. Now, the problem at this time is that there were more homes built than we actually needed. And so when you add the loose mortgage regulations and predatory lending, it was just a recipe for disaster. And obviously, we all know what happened. There was a crash. And the next thing I'm going to talk about is something that I don't really see a lot of people online talking about. So in March 2009, when the Great Recession was almost over, single family home starts reached a low of 353,000. Now that's an 80% decrease from that peak that I was talking about just a moment ago. And unfortunately, we haven't gotten anywhere near that number again. However, the demand for housing has continued to rise since then. The closest that we've gotten is about 1.2 million in December 2020, which is still a lot lower than that peak we had back in 2006. And so it's been a roller coaster up and down since then. And as of July 2024, single family home starts were at 851,000. Now, that's not the craziest part. Here's something that I want you to think about. So the average single family home starts per 1 million people, it remained pretty steady. So throughout the 80s, 90s, and 2000s, it was pretty steady. But in the 2010s, there were 20,000 fewer single family home starts per million people compared to the prior decade. So just another indicator of the fact that we haven't and we're not building enough homes. So my first suggestion is that every state should make it a priority and offer incentives to developers to build housing, especially affordable housing that people can buy. And so I'm curious to know what you think, but let's keep going. And so some of you may not agree with this next point, but I'm standing on this point and I really believe this is an important factor in where we are right now. So in quarter two of 2020, the median home sales price in the US was $317,100. By quarter four of 2022, like 2.5 years later, it rose to $442,600. So here's my question that I have for you. What exactly happened over those 2 years? Did something special change with the homes that were available and existing homes? Did something magically happen to make them more valuable? In my opinion, this is just my opinion, I believe part of the reasons that the prices have gone up is that people started overpaying for properties. So since the interest rates were low, many people thought this would be their last chance to ever buy a home. And I believe this is part of what ran up the prices and the values so much over that short period of time. There was a lot of FOMO back then, and unfortunately, a lot of people right now are paying the price for that. So according to an American homebuyer survey, the results of this survey were released in 2022. 72% of homebuyers had regrets about their home purchases. Here's the worst part. 31% paid over the asking price, and 36% of homebuyers made an offer on a house sight unseen. Now, if you think that's just numbers, let's hear from a homebuyer who purchased a home at that particular time. So I'm reading a direct quote from a realtor.com article. So in March 2020, Mark Joseph bought his first home, a spacious three bedroom, two and a half bathroom house, in St. Louis. He and his wife had recently had their second child, and they badly wanted more square footage. Even in those earliest days of the COVID-19 pandemic, the housing market was very competitive. Joseph was convinced someone else would swoop in and take it away if I didn't make a strong offer, he says. So he paid more than the asking price. When Joseph moved in, he noticed the HVAC system, plumbing, and electrical wiring were in need of some costly repairs, and he'd skipped having them inspected. That unexpected work exceeded his initial budget. There it is, right? That's exactly what I'm talking about. So if you've been listening to me for a while, one of the things I always say is to never overpay. So paying more for a house than what it's worth is always a bad idea, regardless of what anyone tells you. Also, don't ever let anyone rush you into buying a house. I don't care who it is. Only do it if it's the right time for you. Also, never buy a house without an inspection. Whether it's a home you're going to live in or an investment property, don't do it, please. And there are actually very few people who should ever consider buying a house sight unseen or without an inspection. For the majority of those listening, you should absolutely get an inspection. It'll save you in the long run and you won't regret it. So the next factor is one that I believe many people are afraid to talk about. As a reminder, we're gonna list out those cities with the worst housing shortages at the end, so make sure you stick around. Zoning laws are a very important factor to what's happening right now. So an example of how zoning laws work is that in one part of town, there might be factories allowed. In another part of town, there might be apartment buildings. And in another part of town, single family homes. So unintentionally, or maybe intentionally, depending on who you ask, the single family zoning laws that began in the early 1900s have contributed to some of the housing shortages that we're experiencing today. Now, of course, zoning laws look different in various cities. Houston, for example, there's no zoning in Houston, and it's common to see, you know, commercial, industrial, and residential buildings all near each other. And this makes it easier to build. I was in Houston earlier this year, and I just couldn't believe it that, you know, exactly what I described, like commercial, you could have an auto shop next door to a house, basically, or a gas station on the same block as a house. So it's very interesting. I hadn't seen that before. So this next fact is one that you might be surprised by. So 75% of land that is zoned for housing in American cities is for private single family homes. And this is as of 2019. In some suburbs, zoning laws make it illegal to build apartments in nearly all residential areas. So municipalities, they've also made minimum lot sizes bigger and added height requirements. So this has had an effect of encouraging ever larger single family homes and limiting housing options like smaller houses. And that's a direct quote from a CNN article that I actually thought was pretty good. So best believe that there's many residents in certain communities who are fighting tooth and nail to keep zoning the same and to avoid adding more density to their neighborhoods. Now, I'm curious about what you think about this. These are folks that some call NIMBYs or not in my backyard. You've probably heard of that before. But there is a bright side to this. Many state and local governments are rethinking single family zoning due to the housing crisis. So some changes taking place are eliminating single family zoning laws, legalizing accessory dwelling units known as ADUs, also legalizing duplexes, triplexes, fourplexes, etc. And there are also some reforms to create more affordable housing near public transit. So here are some cities that have had reformed single family zoning laws in recent years. So those would be Minneapolis, Minnesota, Arlington, Virginia, Gainesville, Florida, Charlotte, North Carolina, and Walla Walla, Washington. Walla Walla, that's a tongue twister. And I actually want to highlight Minneapolis because I believe they're doing an excellent job with this. So because of their land use reforms, nearly 21,000 units of housing were permitted from 2017 to 2022. And then 87% of those were in buildings with 20 or more units. So a lot of those were for apartments. Okay. So one of the things I want to read to you, I wish you could see this chart, but it's from a PewTrust.org. And so what it did was it basically compared several metrics for Minnesota at large and then metrics for Minneapolis. So the first thing is changes in housing units. So from 2017 to 2012, in Minneapolis, there were 12% more housing units built from 2017 to 2022. In Minnesota at large, that was 4%. The change in average rent in Minneapolis, it was 1%. Minnesota overall, 14%. The change in homelessness in Minneapolis, it dropped by 12%. Minnesota increased by 14%. So very interesting statistics. And I have to believe that a lot of the reason for the positive trend across that period of time is due to the change in zoning laws and building more housing, things of that nature. So here are some states that have gotten rid of single-family zoning altogether: Oregon, California, Washington, Montana, and Maine. And again, I will say there are some cities within these states that have pushed back a lot on, the single-family zoning stuff. So my suggestion is that every state should reconsider their zoning laws. And in many cases, I believe allowing for more density in communities can be beneficial to everyone, right? And hopefully make things more affordable, as we've seen in Minneapolis, for example. So as we wrap up, I want to share the cities with the worst housing shortages in the country, according to a Zillow report. Boston, Massachusetts is number one. Sacramento, California is number two. Portland, Oregon is number three. San Diego, California is number four. San Francisco, California is number five. San Jose, California is number six. Seattle, Washington is number seven. Number eight, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Los Angeles, California is nine. Austin, Texas is 10. So, as you've probably noticed, half the list is California. Doesn't surprise me at all. But definitely appreciate you all taking the time to listen to this episode. I hope it was informative. Looking forward to reading your rating and reviews and any comments that you might have about this topic. Feel free to let me know. You can even send me an email. Feel free to shoot me an email if you want to share some more thoughts about it. But otherwise, thank you all so much, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast. Remember to follow us on Instagram at Black Real Estate Dialogue. And be sure to leave us 5 stars and a review on your favorite podcast listening platform. Until next time.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.